From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Life expectancy in Washington counties varies by as much as 11 years. A small town suspended its entire police force. Residents want to know why. And the Seattle Times really hitting Biden with this pretty mean headline. Biden's stutter surges into presidential campaign. A little mean.
It's actually, if you read the story, it's a really nice story.
Right.
It's about an encounter the president had with a boy who stutters.
Sure. So but like, if I was Donald Trump, eats his way into political defeat, and then it's a nice story about him helping a starving child.
It's a brutal headline.
Joining us in the studio, because Mr. John Curley's doing something else, Jake Skorheim, attorney at law.
I like that. It sounds good.
Host of Cairo Nights, which is the most difficult job in the building. Not a lot of people know this. Got to do it all by your lonesome. No one is there to help you. And
It's not so bad.
Well, you got it different than how when I was doing it. Both you and different? Spike have no idea.
We see you came in and you forged this mechanism to do Cairo Nights. And they said, that's amazing. But no other one person could do that. So they gave us Matt Butler, who's still on the producer desk.
Right,
and on
exactly,
the board.
Exactly.
So I had kind of a two-man job. And Jake, you do a lot more than I ever did. I'll give you that.
Oh, that's nice.
But you also have Matt to fall back on and the entire Cairo staff to draw from.
Yeah, bring everybody in.
It's
simple.
Lovely Matt Butler out there.
Easy when you're having fun.
Before we get to these headlines, though, Fox News just keeps playing this footage while Jesse Waters is shilling his new book. It is footage of migrants breaking through a border wall, and then they stampede the border, and then they are stopped by another wall. And what I realize that this is designed to horrify people, but the disingenuous nature of this is that the border wall actually worked.
Right. Yeah. Right. There's footage of 100 migrants as an estimation that Fox put out.
Right.
And they do come across a razor wire barrier.
Yeah.
They
overrun
that.
Sure.
And they get 500 foot closer to your home, America. And then they're stopped at this huge steel fence wall.
And then they're stopped, right?
With armed border guards saying no.
Right.
No further.
Right. So.
But yeah, the fear porn that Fox is peddling today is a little much.
But you guys are saying that's a good idea. You like the border wall. That's interesting.
Well, I mean, at certain places, yeah. I would say in other places, though,
you've shown. It does work.
A wall works right there, but there are other places where it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And as a matter of fact, if you want to get into the real biology of it and why walls are generally a bad idea, is that the...
if I'm being honest, if I want to talk about border walls, no.
I mean, we can skip
Let's
that.
Let's move
Jake.
On to
Not
other...
Since the invention of the ladder.
On to Jeez, other Jake. I didn't realize that you were so easy to be bored.
You set
bored.
Us up like that.
No, you know
what?
Is it Jake doesn't like to talk about politics because Jake doesn't want people to know how he actually feels about politics.
Here's the thing that I have a difficult time with now. When you host the night show, I'm just by myself all the time. So if I have like a change of speed or if I want to go down on a tangent or something else, I'm having to learn how to play with others, hanging out with you guys, which is nice. So I need this and I appreciate it. So
sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry for switching so quickly.
No. We have to be able to think on our feet as well.
We're consummate professionals over here, Jake Skorheim. So, Jake, what county do you live in? Do you mind if I ask?
Snohomish County.
Okay.
Yeah, I live north of city.
So there's an 11-year gap between the county with the highest life expectancy, which is the San Juan, and then with the lowest, which is what, Mr. O'Neill?
Penderay.
That's right.
Penderay.
That's how you say that very difficult word
Eastern Washington. Northeastern Washington.
Okay. Yeah. Penderay. I've never heard of that.
Border of Idaho and Canada, Penderay.
Got it.
It's technically not even America, really.
It is.
I mean,
that's Canadian. In fact, it's funny you say that because it was actually the first America because we stole most of that land from the people who still live there. It's funny.
Okay, very cool.
So you're saying that Penderay has the highest life expectancy?
Lowest.
But it's up near Canada, which I always associate it with like really nice country living.
But you're associating it with Canada, which means associating with socialized medicine. I think one of the reasons that Penderay has one of the lowest life expectancies in the state is lack of resources. It's a very rural community.
Oh, okay.
There's a large Native American population up in Penderay. Those communities tend to have higher incidence of diabetes, lower access to health care.
I think I'm going to get a different read on this.
Okay.
Okay. If you're living in the San Juans, you're living in nature. You're living in beauty. Things are changing. The winds are changing. Mm-hmm. Storm systems are moving in.
Okay.
You're seeing whales and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Your life is ever moving. You are seeing things around you. It's also an island, so the community is very tight knit. People are communicating with each other. They depend on each other for their very survival and some cases. If you're out in the middle of nowhere, You are much more distant from other people.
Uh-huh.
You are much more separated from other people.
Okay.
And so then you have less interaction. Things aren't as, they're not moving as much. You're in rural cow country or whatever it is,
yeah.
right? Things are stacked. They're pretty much the same day in, day out, all of the time.
Okay.
And so I think that that has a huge effect on people's overall when the outlook on life.
Well, I also wonder with in the San Juan Islands, if the people who live out there, a lot of those might be vacation homes, so people might have a lot more money
out
there.
A lot more money.
So they have access to other types of...
Property values in the San Juans are phenomenally high.
Yeah.
They have a tax base that gives them good health care. Plus, they're on island time.
Eating a lot of fish. You know, it's good for you.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Things are slower in the islands. There's less stress.
So, Jake, what do you think contributes to a long and happy life, my friend? This is a question I was going to ask Mr. Curley, but since you're here, I figured we would ask
you.
That's
a deep question. I don't know if we've got enough time for that.
I think we do, my friend. What contributes to...
My short answer is, I don't know. What contributes to a happy life? Like, what makes somebody happy? That's also an interesting question.
Right.
What makes one person happy is not going to make the other person happy. Mm-hmm. What actually contributes to a long, healthful, happy life?
Yeah, my friend.
There are things that you can do to make, you know, to stretch your life out, but are you going to feel better about life? I don't know.
You don't live longer, it just feels like
but like you can cut certain foods out of your diet, but like are you living a quality of life that you're happier with if you're just eating, you know, like nuts and berries, or are you enjoying the life that you're living? I mean, I don't know. Do I want to live to 105 if I'm not eating any food that I enjoy?
To be honest with you, Jake, you're giving
up. But you said happy, not healthy.
Giving up Hot Pockets makes me happy because now I'm, you know, I feel much better. The inflammation in my body is down.
Sure.
Your
face looks very thin and
stand
healthy.
Up,
yeah.
Thank you so much. I can stand on my tippy toes. I can do all kinds of stuff. So for me, when we talk about a long and happy life, number one is mobility, the ability to ambulate, the ability to get around, the ability to do various positions, yoga positions, whatever it might be, and then teach those to other people. I think that that's really the key to a long and happy life is the ability to move.
Is to teach people yoga.
That as well. But I'm just saying, just the ability to move contributes to, like, my friend Billy doesn't like walking. He hates walking, and he won't even get one of those scooters or whatever it is.
Rascals?
He doesn't want to get a Rascal scooter because he says that's just accepting death.
It's giving up.
So
I'm with him there.
He prefers to live in
this limbo space.
I
hear what you're saying. I also think that, like, and I agree with you, like, the idea of being stuck and not being able to move around towards the end of my life. I hope it's towards the end of my life and it's not anytime soon, but mobility is such a big deal. I feel like this feels like a weekend show conversation or something, you know, like we're trying to sell
people
mobility.
Well, I mean, I try to talk about the border and you undercut me on that. So,
like that would make me very unhappy. If I was stuck and I wasn't able to move, that would make me very unhappy. But to your question, what makes me happy? I get really excited about, you know, like this is a dumb answer, but like I do like doing the radio show. It's a fun outlet. It's a fun way to express yourself. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy that. But like you said, it is a grind to do the show every day by yourself. So another thing that makes me tremendously happy and kind of refills my gas tank, I do love going home to my family. It's a really nice thing. And it is kind of,
That's so sweet.
No, but it really is true. Like when you have, and we can probably all relate to this, but like when you have people in your life that you care about, they do kind of rejuvenate you in a nice way.
Care about? What is this?
Well, Jack and Laura have those people. I don't know if you have those people, but.
We care about you.
We care about you.
Care?
We do.
What is this word that you guys keep
repeating? So many new words. Is it care? Neighbor?
Neighbor was a new one for you.
What is this?
This might be confusing. Think about this. Like the love that you give your cat. Right? Imagine that's reflected back towards you.
At
the end of the day.
Yeah.
And it's filling up your tank, so you get excited to come in here and do this all again.
Do you ever picture yourself as an older dad? Because there was a commercial that was just playing of an older Japanese dad who owns a donut shop.
I often picture myself as an older Japanese dad.
And so,
donut shop not included.
And so, do you ever picture yourself like your sons come to you in their mid-30s, mid-40s? Do you ever see yourself? Do you ever future cast in that way?
Yes, I do.
Can I ask, what do you see in that circumstance? Are you smoking a pipe filled with vanilla tobacco on your porch?
That smells nice, doesn't it?
Right,
doesn't the vanilla, like when you walk by in the mall? I love that smell.
You and the lovely Mrs. Skorheim with the grandkids bouncing around the living room?
That is the dream, though. That is the nice dream. Like we were following this couple the other day. I've talked about this on the other shows endlessly, but we were taking the ferry over to see my in-laws. And we parked behind this older couple who got out of their car, and they both looked kind of nice. They both were probably maybe in their like early to mid 70s, but they both were still fit. You know, they kept it tight, which is nice. And They look like they enjoyed each other's company, though, you know. Yeah. And they walk away from their car, and they had no kids with them because obviously their kids are way old now if they have kids. And they're holding hands and they're walking down the pier off to enjoy the sunshine before they got on the boat. And my wife and I kind of looked at each other and like, oh, wouldn't that be great if that was us in 30 years? We're in our 70s. We're still fit. We both still are attracted to each other and enjoying life in that way. And I mean, that's kind of my vision. And hopefully my kids are all doing fine and I see them, whatever.
That's super sweet, Mr. Skorheim. Yeah, we appreciate
don't cry.
You.
Don't cry.
We appreciate you hanging out with us for
thank
that
you
period
guys.
Of time.
This is a blast.
My dude.
We can talk about border wall next time.
Yeah, next time we'll do a deep dive in the border wall.
Yeah, let me read up on it a little bit.
Jake Skorheim, give me a heard every Monday through Friday on Cairo Nights, which is an excellent program. You can also listen to the podcast, Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim, where you can hear all of his fun segments that he does. And because Jake talks to everybody and he does a fantastic show. So should we go back into border wall? Or should we talk about Biden's stutter surges?
Let's not talk about the border wall. That's just we nailed it. That's Fox fear mongering.
Yeah.
You know, showing the same 8 seconds of violent video over and over again.
I just the images that people take in paint their mood, right? Like the images that people take in, whatever, well, the kind of media that people take in, it paints their mood overall.
It
does. And I think that in the same way that we need to navigate the kinds of foods that we eat, you have to navigate the kind
that's,
of media that you take
advice,
in.
That's great advice, man.
So President Biden recently sent out a video of him meeting with a 9-year-old with a stutter, and he told the young boy, "Don't let anybody tell you that you can't do anything." And I thought, wait a minute, this is odd and bizarre. Because didn't I remember this happening 4 years ago?
Yeah,
and as a matter of fact, it did.
Yeah, it's older footage.
It's kind of like what PDs tell radio hosts. They go, play the hits. You play the hits. Talk about the border wall. Talk about immigration. Talk about drugs.
Yep.
Talk about poverty. Talk about crime. You got to play the hits. This seems to me, I understand that this makes people feel good. I don't like this kind of political posturing. Kissing babies, all that kind of trash. I see right through it. I'm not a fan of it. I think we need to stop doing it and move away from it.
Yeah, but it's kind of retail politics we talked about. Trump does so much better than Biden does. You know, that whole tell a story about a guy I met or who, whatever candidate it may be. The Biden stutter story is back because of something President Trump did on the campaign trail a couple weekends ago.
Okay.
Remember, he literally made fun of Biden's stutter. He stammered.
Really?
Yes.
Because 4 years ago, he was saying that the stutter didn't exist, but now he's saying it does exist?
Well, he used it for I want to say campaign game, comedic game. The crowd roared in laughter.
Yeah.
So when, and I think it's funny, you talk about the kind of media we take in determines who we are and how we feel, right?
So he basically did the scene from that one Sally Field movie where Kiefer Sutherland is the bad guy. Do you remember that movie?
I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
So Laura, can you pull this up? This is a movie, Sally Field, Kiefer Sutherland. It's where a man breaks into her house and her daughter has a stutter and he murders her daughter.
Oh,
and then
that's horrible.
And then in the courtroom when he gets off, he leans down to Sally Field and he says, sorry. You're telling me that Trump basically did that to Biden?
Yeah.
Wow.
Behind the podium at a rally.
What a mad lad. What a mad lad he is. Am I right or am I right? Laura, did you find that movie?
Is it Eye for an Eye?
I think that's what it is, because then Sally Field goes back and she kills Kiefer Sutherland.
Okay, put that on my
list. And it's a really good movie. You really got to see that film, because Kiefer Sutherland plays the bad guy in that perfectly. Yeah. He nails it. It's really... Oh, that is what it is, because then she does her whole conspiracy about how she's going to kill him and get away with it, because he killed her daughter and he got away with it. So that's what it is. When did that come out? That has to be like 92, right? 92, 93?
God, your memory is amazing.
Is that what it is?
96.
Oh my dude. Jeez, I am so good at this.
Biden can use a 4-year window.
It was only off by 4 years, yeah, right?
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. So
yeah, that's why it's coming back into the fold.
So do you think cruelty in politics is in vogue again? Is that what you're saying?
Of course it's in vogue. That's what's been the last 8 years now. Is brashness, strength through bravado, the strong man mentality America needs. I've seen people at rallies question interviews say, yeah, I wouldn't mind a strong man. The country needs a strong man right now. Not realizing that strong men, when we say the definition of strong man politicians, are the Putins of the world, the Xis of the world, the Kim Jong-uns of the world. That's what Viktor Orban, that's what a strong man does, runs roughshod over the country's democracy and its population.
I think we need to get back to old-timey passive-aggressiveness. I'm talking about...
How do you mean?
Because, like, you ever read the letters that Benjamin Franklin would write, like John Adams about Jefferson? It was he doth not know how to tie his horse to a post. And they would go, ha, 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 yeah, Indy. Yeah, yeah. And that was the equivalent of like making fun of his stutter back in the
day. I dunked upon thee.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Seriously.
Right? Like, yeah. I think we need to get back to like, he leaves his chamber pot fill up for days. And everyone's like, ah, yes, he is a fool. Right?
I don't know if the stench comes from his chamber pot or his policies. Dare I say
right,
it.
Like, we need to get back to that old-timey passive aggressiveness. So we can all get back to, like, he's the kind of man who lights his candle from the bottom of the wick.
And the room remains dark and he knows not why. We should be political advisors.
Because this is a little bit juvenile, and I feel like we need to get back into the realm of what I will call white woman passive aggressiveness. Laura, you know what I'm talking about. There is no being on the planet that knows how to undercut another human being quite like white women. Am I right or am I right?
I love that shirt.
Exactly.
Love it.
Thank you.
You'll think about that for a month.
I think what Biden needs to start doing is say, have you guys seen Donald Trump's hair recently? So full and so natural. Looks great.
You'd never know,
right? I mean, you'd never really. See, Laura, even you know how to do it better than I know how to do it.
What if Biden came out one day with the orange, with the wig? With the yellow wig.
Didn't mention it, just nope, had it on.
And a long red tie.
Right, exactly. I think that would be
cool. Apparently, this is what a lot of people like. I'm reaching across the aisle.
He's got like bacon grease smeared all over his face, right? This is the kind of politics that we need to engage in. Because it can be a little bit more mature, a little bit more like clever. Because making fun of the fact that Donald Trump is, let us just say, morbidly obese, it's a little gauche. It's a little kitschy. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been done.
Making fun of Biden because he's old and has a stutter. It's a little old hat. So why don't we try to up our, you know, political insults and try to bring some intelligence back into the building?
I'm all for that, man. That's all for it.
I've been talking about this for quite some time. I think the way that we elevate political discourse is we just kind of get back to wearing monocles and being mean to each other, right? Sure. So what do we got coming up, Spike? What's next on the show?
Oh, I had an incident at home this weekend. I'm hoping you'll let me share it with you because I feel like I time traveled this weekend because I saw myself 40 years ago. I just saw it in the actions of my kid.
Right. Did you get lied to?
A little bit.
Okay,
bit.
Because...
Well, it's funny. Funny you should ask that.
Right.
Because it's exactly the misdirection and lie by omission that I used to pull off 40 years ago, to the day, basically.
What should parents do when their teenager lies to them is a study that came out ever so recently, and we shall be discussing that in unison with Spike's child lying to him as well over making a mess and then making it worse, right?
Well, when I show you the pictures and tell you what happened.
All right, we'll talk about it when we get back right after this. YouTube is a thing that some people do. Some people do it poorly, some people do it well. You can make that determination for yourself by visiting our YouTube channel, nice. The Jack and Spike Show, which is only found on YouTube. You get to see our digital-only exclusives. Some of those videos are about politics, some of them are about culture, and all of them are exclusive to the Jack and Spike Show on YouTube. Teenagers, they lie. What? Who would have ever said such a thing? But they most certainly do. And there's a recent study that came out about why they do so, or at least it's kind of a summation of the psychology behind lying teenagers. Mm-hmm. But before we get to all that, Spike, you had an incident with your lovely child where they made something and then they made it worse. What happened?
Well, so I let me show you a picture real quick.
This is great for radio.
I know. I'm trying to say. I apologize. I should have given you enough time to put it up on the. Maybe we can share it to our website or something. I don't know. I get up in this weekend and go to my kid's room. My kid is now back to college mm-hmm. after a week of spring break, mm-hmm. and I go into their room to put away some laundry that they didn't quite finish up before they got back to school. Mm-hmm. And there's this huge green splotch in the white carpet.
Wow.
Of my kid's room.
Okay.
It's about a foot long. It's about 4 inches wide.
Okay.
Of a green, just bleh.
Yeah.
And I'm. Oh.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
Exactly my point, because Slimer was in there, apparently.
And the first thing I thought was, it's okay, I'm thinking, okay, now it makes sense because 2 o'clock the morning prior, I was woken up and there were lights on and I get up and I want, what's going on? Because my youngest is in the kitchen looking under the kitchen sink. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing? I'm just getting some stuff, putting some stuff. Okay. Just making sure you, blah, blah, blah. And I go back to bed. I don't think about it. Mm-hmm. And I go into my kid's room the day after and I see the splotch on the carpet. I think, okay, it's one of those matcha drinks from Starbucks. Those green cups, you know.
Yeah, get them all the time.
I'm thinking, okay, so it tipped over, fell to the carpet. Clearly the kid tried to clean it up and just kind of ground it in a little bit and they made it worse.
Right.
And so I go and I get the little carpets. We got a puppy, so we got them with carpet steamers.
Yeah.
Right? Get the stain. Instead of calling and griping about, talk to them later, I spend 25 minutes working on the carpet. Nothing. So I call my kid. I said, you want to tell me what happened to the carpet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was painting my nails and I knocked over a bottle of green nail polish. My green nail polish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, is that why you're up? Yeah, that's why I was up at 2 a.m. And I did some research on the, and they said, try this. And I tried that and I tried that. And it just seemed to make it worse and spread it around. And I'm really sorry. And I'm like, okay. So that's cool. This accidents happened.
The tears were coming up.
Oh, they were pretty, because I saw myself right there. That's me. Mm-hmm. That's exactly me. I've done exactly that.
With green nail polish?
Not green nail polish, but I spilled paint on a carpet when I was a kid living at home.
Yeah.
And I tried everything.
Were you having a paint
to hide
fight?
It.
Were
I was working on something. I was painting an amplifier of all things.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. Anyway, and I'm trying to fix it before I have to confess to the old man, you know, and I watched my kid do exactly to me. What I had done to my father.
Mm.
I mean, 40. It's so I'm looking at a little mini me.
Break into tears and say,
yeah, I'm sorry. I tried to. I was going to put a rug over it. And I'm like, you were going to hide it with a rug?
Yeah.
And then I thought, I said the exact same thing to my dad.
Yeah.
I was, it's the carpet's not ruined. I was going to put a rug down so no one would know.
Did you try acetone?
I'm going to try that.
Okay.
I'm going to try that.
Because that's going to be the thing, I would imagine, is going to be acetone,
yeah,
probably hydrogen peroxide.
Which is nail polish remover.
At least you didn't
break
do
it free of the fiber.
At least you didn't do the thing from American Gangster. Remember the scene where the guy spills wine on the alpaca? That's $25,000 alpaca. You blot that. You remember that?
Yeah, you blot that. You know what I did once? I'll tell you how bad, my experience with my dad, I'll tell you another thing I did, I thought about it until just now.
Yeah.
I left an iron on. I was ironing something in my room on a pillowcase, and it burned through the pillowcase, through the clothes, through the carpet.
Yeah.
And I went to the closet and cut out a square of carpet and tried to cut the shape of an iron and patch it myself so I wouldn't have to tell my old man.
Yeah. So why do teens lie, right? Now, everybody knows that teenagers are prone to lies every once in a while. There's been a couple of studies that have been done about this, but this is kind of a summation that was released. It's kind of one of those things where it's surface-level information, but mm-hmm. at the same time, it's important to kind of understand the mechanism behind lying, because often we attribute it to immorality.
Right.
We attribute it to a lack of character.
Yeah, and I got a really, I think I have a pretty honest kid. You've met my kid.
Oh, very much so.
Great
very
kid.
Honest kid,
yeah.
Right? So obviously you've got, you know, avoid getting into trouble. Everybody
right.
knows about that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other thing that I don't think a lot of parents take into consideration, avoiding embarrassment. Because teenagers don't want to be shamed by mom and dad.
Sure,
and so
yeah,
they will try to avoid that at all costs.
Probably the most common.
Also,
yeah.
Covering up emotions, right? Feeling as if they need to lie in order to not actually articulate the way that they feel about a thing, whether it's sad or disappointed or whatever it
okay.
might be. But then the thing that I don't think a lot of people realize is that a teenager lying is a mechanism to establish autonomy. So they're trying to separate, because teens, what they do psychologically is they're trying to further create a rift, if you will, between you. Because okay, let me
they're
back
breaking
up.
Free.
Let me back up a little bit. When there is a baby, a little newborn baby, psychologically there is no difference in that baby between baby and mom up until about 1.5 years old.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
yeah.
So baby and mom are one and the same. And then they start ambulating and they start moving around and then they realize that they're this little autonomous being, but they still have this kind of heliotropic kind of gravitational pull around mom. Do you ever notice that about kids?
Sure, yeah.
They don't
absolutely.
Really want to get too far away from mom, right. just in case. And slowly that gravitational cycle gets further and further and further out until they're about 7 or 8 years old. And then all of a sudden they're running around in the backyard, you know, trying to light off fireworks or whatever it is.
Yep.
So autonomy is something that you need to give kids gradually in order to make them healthy little independent beings.
Right.
And unfortunately, what happens is when kids are not afforded that autonomy, when you have helicopter mom or helicopter dad, they will begin to lie. solely so that they can have the experience of being separate from mom's oversight or dad's oversight. This is where you get the whole riding in cars with boys, were you?
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
No, we were just holding hands down there at Lover's Lane. Why would I ever be in the car with a boy? I would never do something like that, mother. But
oh, that was my girlfriend's house.
I sometimes wish that I had parents that were like had a little bit more oversight into my life.
A little more helicopter?
A little bit more helicopter-y. Really? Because when I was 16, I was able to, basically, I wanted to go hang out with my friends because I, of course, you know, you don't want to be in the house. So I'd be like, oh man, 9 o'clock, going to bed, everybody, gotta wake up bright and early for school tomorrow, go into my bedroom, which was separate from the rest of the house, close the door, lock the door, pop off the screen to my window,
out you were,
ninja Kraiden roll out the window, get into my 91 Mitsubishi Mirage, and then I'm just playing Motley Crue all the way to my friend's house.
Did you have to drift it down the driveway out?
Yeah, kickstart my heart, then we're right on time, just driving all the way to my friend's house, just like smoke weed and play music, and then go back to my house by 3 a.m. Ninja Kraiden roll back in through my window, wake up, my alarm goes off at 6, I don't want to go to school, mom.
I didn't sleep well,
I don't feel good, my eyes are all red, I've got allergies, mom, please don't make me go to school, right? So I just, there's a certain part of me that appreciates very much so when parents are deeply invested in their kids, because I didn't have that at all. Laura, did you have helicopter mom, helicopter dad?
Yeah, I did.
How bad?
Pretty bad, but I was the goody two-shoes, so I didn't mind.
What?
I know, shocking.
How were you a goody two-shoes? What were you, like straight A's? You were never doing anything wrong?
Yeah.
No smoking, no drinking?
Okay. I was going to say, so when you did lie to your parents, because I'm not believing that you never lied to your parents.
Yeah.
There was one time that I lied to my mom about where I was. I was like, oh, I'm sleeping over, and then I didn't do that. I went home at 6 in the morning, like could not sleep the whole night because I was so racked with guilt. Went home at 6 in the morning with tears in my eyes and confessed everything to my mom.
What were you doing? What were you doing?
I went to a house party.
Laura, how could you possibly?
You're telling me
that you went to a house. How old were you when you did this?
I was 16.
What? You 16-year-old going to a house party? Whose house party? Whose house was this in? I need to know.
It was a camp friend.
A camp friend? Was it a boy?
No.
Okay, good. All right. Well, because
there were boys there.
Were there boys there?
No, the house was funny. They had like a whole porcelain doll collection in like their TV den.
And you smashed
it. Lining the walls. No, I just left quickly.
Yeah, that's creepy as hell.
It was really weird.
I remember because every single time I would, because you guys know I miss so many days of school. Every single time, my grandfather would be like, "You didn't go anywhere, like, because I touched the engine on the Mitsubishi. It's still warm." I'd be like, "I don't know.
Maybe it's early sun hit.
Some other guys were okay." So I got a story for you guys. So one time, I was very, very young. My grandfather gave me the biggest lie I ever told that I actually got away with.
Okay,
they gave me a wrist rocket, slingshot.
You know, oh, I love those.
And so I was so excited to do it. I was basically like Ralphie in A Christmas Story, and I ran outside and I set up a bunch of tin cans on top of the garbage can. I started knocking off tin cans.
That's sensible.
But unfortunately, I overshot and it went right into the window of our Mitsubishi and our Ford Windstar.
Oh.
And shattered the window into a million pieces. It was that tempered glass. So what I did was I was quick thinking because I was like, this is bad news bears for me if anybody finds out the crime. Right. I went and I found a baseball, random baseball. Hucked it right into the window, ran inside, and then I was like, I think I just heard breaking glass outside, you guys. I think something's wrong with one of the cars. Whole family goes outside. Hooligans!
Darn it!
They threw a baseball.
Meanwhile, the kid in the next yard who's a little aspiring baseball player, he's paying the price.
Well, and people might be saying, like, well, how did you get away with that? I was not an athletically inclined child, so the idea that I could throw a baseball through a minivan window, my grandfather was like, there's no way that kid. I mean, that kid, a strong breeze will take him over. I never told him. No, I never told him. And I also didn't tell him the one time that I stole his Corvette, but that's a different story.
You know that as soon as he moved on to the next, he knows now. He knows now.
I don't think they tell people secrets in hell, Spike. I don't think they. I think hell's where you have to live.
That's what heaven's for. Right. Hell, getting all the secrets.
My mistake.
All right, we'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back right after this. All right, so I've never told this story.
Yeah, I got to hear this.
I stole my grandfather's Corvette. So my grandfather was a big Corvette guy. He had like two or three of them. And he spent a ton of money when the 2001 Corvette was coming out because it had, I don't know anything about cars, but it was some like, it was some V8 thing or whatever. And he didn't let anybody drive it. It was, that was his baby, right? He didn't let anybody touch it. It's basically like the scene from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Sure, Cameron's dad.
Rubbed it with a diaper every day. You know what I mean? But this thing was, it was designed to move and move really fast. And so, and he always told me that I would never be able to drive it. He basically lorded it over me. He said, "You'll never drive this car." So when I was 17 years old, he went out of town on a business trip. And for whatever reason, it had never occurred to me to just take his keys and get in the Corvette. But he's off on some business trip. Friend of mine calls me. He's taking night classes at the community college. That's about 45 minutes away from my house. He calls me and he says, "Dude, my car won't start. I don't have my mom's AAA card. Can you come give me a ride home? Because I have no other way to get home."
Okay.
So I think to myself, yeah, my dude, I can come pick you up in my Mitsubishi Mirage. I mean, my grandfather's Corvette.
Oh, no.
So I go over to the key rack, take the keys off the key rack. It's like 8 o'clock at night. It's May out. It's also a convertible Corvette, by the way. Oh. And so I get my Matrix CD, the soundtrack to the Matrix.
Mm, okay.
And this Corvette had the Bose speaker system, the top of the line Bose speaker system.
Thank you. Yeah.
And so I get in. It's a stick shift as well. I get in it. I pop the clutch, put it down, turn the key, press play on the CD player. Put it in reverse. And I started driving. I just started running with that car. Now, you don't know this about 17-year-old boys. Maybe not the safest drivers of all time. So, like, you remember I told you it was about a 45-minute drive from my house to community college? I made it in 20 minutes flat. Sure. I was probably going 120 miles an hour the whole time. So I am ripping through Central California in this Corvette. And in my mind, because he had installed, my grandfather installed the radar detector, I was scot-free until the radar detector went off. And I am driving like a bat out of hell. I am going as fast as I possibly can because I'm an irresponsible 17-year-old kid. So I pull up to pick up my buddy, and what do I see? You can kill it. You don't need to play it anymore. I go to pick up my buddy, and he's there, and all of his college lady friends are there. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
So they see me pull up in this sweet 2001 Corvette, and I'm thinking to myself, like, yeah, now's the time. Anyway, they all leave because they're like, okay, bye, your ride's here, so they don't care. But I pick up my buddy. He goes, "Dude, you're driving your grandfather's Corvette. You can't be doing that." I'm like, "Watch me." He gets in the car. I give him a ride home. It's like the only time that I had ever done something that he would legitimately have taken my life was the time that
and
I stole.
He never caught you for the.
Never
he
caught
didn't
me.
Track the mileage.
Didn't track the mileage.
You put it back in the same spot.
Put
exactly
it back in the
where it went.
Exactly same spot.
You didn't feed your buddy in the car on the way home. So
I
fry.
I forgot the CD in the CD player.
There's always something.
And so he comes to me and he says, "Is your cousin Brandon over?" I said, "No, why?" And he goes, "This CD was in the CD player in the Corvette. I just was curious if anybody had been in the Corvette." I said, "I have no idea."
You didn't even, You didn't say, yeah,
I
you know what?
No
I had to hear that sound system.
I said,
Dad,
I had no idea how that CD got in your CD. And he was none the wiser until the day he died. Andrew A plus Nate Cotters. Dang, is that a fitted Cairo long sleeve zip up, dude?
That's it. Yep, the whole shebang.
God, Nate Cotters, you're making me rub my beard in jealousy. Look at me. I'm like Santa Claus. Laura A plus, Spike O'Neill C plus today, my friend. Here is your quote of the day.
"Not shooting, son. What's your name?"
"He doth not know how to tie his horse to a post."
I dunked upon thee.